down in my heart. Deep down in my heart, I've got the love,
I've got the love of Jesus.
I've
got the peace of Jesus.
Said I've got the joy,
I've got the joy.
And it's deep down in my heart. Oh, deep down in my heart. Deep down in my heart. Deep down in my heart. And it's deep down in my heart. Deep down in my heart. Nothing can take it away.
Deep down in my heart.
Nothing can take it away.
Deep down in my heart.
Rooted deep.
Well, good evening. Thank you all for coming down to hear our report from our Chattanooga mission team. And from June 20th to 27th, there was a group of eight of us. We headed up to Chattanooga, and we served with a ministry called Hope for the Inner City, which is a ministry that's been around for a number of years. It came out of a PCA church called New City Fellowship. And they do a great work ministering in neglected areas of the city, ministering primarily to African Americans, Hispanics. And for our week there, we want to take tonight to just share a few of our stories from what we experienced. And Seminole, this is the church that the team came out of. This is the church that prayed for our team as we were preparing and as we were up serving. This is the church that also supported us and sent us on our way. And so we wanted to express our gratitude and thanks to all of you for your support in this great trip. And so it was a fantastic week. And so we wanted to begin our time with you after I open up with prayer by introducing you to some songs that we learned while we were up in Chattanooga. And these are songs that they've been singing for a number of years, and they have some soul to them. Things that I'm afraid it's hard for us to locate that within our bodies. And so feel free to laugh at us. We're just going to feed off of that. And we're going to do our best to sing some of these scripture songs to all of you. There's three songs that we're going to sing. Two of them come straight out of scripture. One of them comes from Romans 14, 17, which says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." And that'll become clear that that song comes right out of that verse when we start singing it. And another song that we're going to sing comes from Ephesians chapter 6, talking about the armor of God, putting it on. And so we invite you to put that armor of God on right along with us as we sing that song. And then the third and final song, which is a song you just heard over the speakers, is a traditional gospel song which has some call and some response. And so Daniel is going to be leading that for us. And so he may invite you to respond right along with us. And there's a lot of repetition, so it'll be easy for you to learn. But we hope that that blesses you as our focus is on our Lord and Savior, praising him. And then after we sing some songs, we're going to do a little slideshow so you can see some pictures. And then all of our team members are going to share briefly about different aspects of our trip. And then we'll also be opening it up at the end for a time of questions. So at the very end, when I'm like, "Are there any questions?" Let it not just fall flat. I'm sure you're going to have some questions, even if you think they're silly questions. Feel free to ask, direct them to any particular team member or just to the team in general if there are things that kind of perked your interest that you want to know a little bit more about. But for now, let me open up with a word of prayer, and then I'll introduce our team members and invite them up here. Father, we do thank you that you are God and that you have been in Chattanooga working so long before we ever arrived. And we thank you for the privilege of coming alongside Hope for the Inner City and serving with them, being their hands and feet for a week. We do pray, Lord, that you would continue to bear fruit in the lives of those that we encountered up in Chattanooga. And I also pray that you would continue to bear fruit in my life and Scott's life as team leaders in the lives of each of our team members. And I pray, Lord, that you'd even bless this church as we all get to participate in some degree to what we experienced up in Chattanooga a couple weeks ago. And so, Lord, we give this time to you. We invite your presence to be among us in a unique way, and we pray that you would be honored and glorified through all that's shared tonight. And it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. First of all, I want to introduce our team members. And so, I'm Danny, was the trip leader along with Scott Hickerson. He and I were the ones that prepared for this trip long before we knew where we were going to go. We researched destinations and through prayerful consideration ended up aligning ourselves with Hope for the Inner City. And then along this pew, why don't you guys go ahead and come up here as we get ready to sing. One of our team members is actually sick. So she is unable to be here with us tonight, and I know she's disappointed. She wanted to be here, but that's Gina Allen, and so she's home in bed feeling miserable, so you could pray for her. And then we have Nicholas Lambers, and we have Luke Adsett, we have Emily Johnson. I already introduced Scott Hickerson. We have Daniel Lang, and then we have Ryan Williams down here at the end, so... we're hopefully going to bless you and glorify the Lord, singing a few songs here.
All right, so here is a righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
One, two, three. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. There's so much joy in the kingdom. There's so much joy in the kingdom. There's so much joy in the kingdom. Come on, everybody. There's so much love in the kingdom. There's so much love in the kingdom. There's so much love in the kingdom. Come on, everybody. There's so much peace in the kingdom. There's so much peace in the kingdom. There's so much peace in the kingdom. Come on, everybody.
Come on, everybody.
Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody.
Here we go.
Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody.
All right. All right, the next one we're doing is called Feet Shod. And you'll see why. All right.
One, two, three. I got my feet shod with the preparation of peace. I got my belt of truth. I got my sword of the spirit and my shield of faith. I got my breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. I put on my armor and I'm ready for the battle. Ready for the battle. Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. So resist him with a steadfast faith and with the Spirit's grace and power.
Guys,
I'm a soldier.
Girls,
I'm a soldier.
Guys,
I'm a soldier.
Girls,
I got my feet shod with the preparation of peace. I got my belt of truth, I got my sword of the spirit, and my shield of faith. I got my breastplate of righteousness, my helmet of salvation. I put on my armor and I'm ready for the battle, ready for the battle.
All right, awesome. The next song we're doing is called Deep. Now, this is the more gospel-y call and response one. I'm not very much of a gospel person, so bear with me. And I'll sing the lead part, and then you all, if you feel okay with, you're going to follow with them. So we could all try to sing along. All right, here we go. Deep.
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 Deep down in my heart. Deep.
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 Deep down in my heart. I got the love.
I got the love of Jesus.
I got the love.
I got the love of Jesus.
I got the love.
I got the love of Jesus.
And it's deep down in my heart. Deep,
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 deep down in my heart. Deep,
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 deep down in my heart. I got the peace.
I got the peace of Jesus.
I got the peace.
I got the peace of Jesus.
I got the peace.
I got the peace of Jesus.
And it's deep down in my heart. Deep.
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 Deep down in my heart. Deep.
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 Deep down in my heart. I got the joy.
I got the joy of Jesus.
I got the joy.
I got the joy of Jesus.
I got the joy.
I got the joy.
And it's deep down in my heart. One more time. Deep.
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 Deep down in my heart. Deep.
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 Deep down in my heart.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is a PowerPoint that we put together, and it is showing where we went and what we did, and we'll be talking about what some of the things that you'll see us doing in the video.
Go ahead.
Living in Hi, I'm Scott. Hey, thank you. Like Danny said, thanks for coming out tonight. Thank you for supporting us in prayer with money. I'm sure maybe some brothers and sisters, moms and dads got stuck with some extra chores while we were gone. I know Liz did. Let me tell you, I want to tell you a little bit about hope and kind of give an introduction and also hope for the inner city, that is. And to just talk a little bit about answered prayer on our trip. Hope for the inner city, like Danny said, it's a ministry there. It's that we worked with. And they operate according to the principles of something called the Christian Community Development Association. There's eight principles. Among them are things like racial reconciliation, a holistic ministry, the whole gospel to the whole person, and being church-based. One of the big things that they have is leadership development. And that's a lot of what I think happened, what purposefully happened this week, or the week that we were there. Okay, can everybody hear me? Okay. Okay. Should I start over? I don't think so. The trip, the experience was designed by the folks at Hope for the Inner City to train up young people to be leaders in their church. And so as you saw in the slideshow, when they had the Bible clubs, there was maybe one picture that showed Danny or I. That was on purpose. Not that the pictures were on purpose, the actual purpose of the of how it was run. Our students prepared ahead of time, before we ever went on the trip, for each of the lessons. They went door to door, inviting kids to the Bible club, and they ran it. There was a lot of putting the students out there to where they had to take responsibility and run what was going on. And I think you'll hear a little bit more about that from them, but that was a big strength of what happened there. I thanked all of you, but what I really want to do is thank God and to glorify him, and I think that he answered prayer. And let me just read a couple of the prayers that were in our prayer guide that we gave y'all before we went on the trip. Somebody asked that God would show me that he how he wants me to serve him in everyday life and on the trip, that God would allow me to show others his love through being a servant for him. Another one said, ask for prayer for God to keep me humble as I serve with hope for the inner city, for safety and travel, and that my relationship with God will grow through this experience. God kept us safe. I think God worked in us, and God worked through us, and you'll hear a little bit about that. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel. You probably know that by now. But when Pastor Danny and Mr. Scott told us we're going on this trip, we asked, all right, what are we going to do? And they said, we're doing one, community development, and two, we're going to host a small Bible club. And we all prepared for the Bible clubs. We set out roles for each person, and you'll see that later. But still, community development really didn't really understand what that really meant until we got there. There's two things I'm so glad I packed. It was my work shoes and my sunscreen. We did a lot of community development, which was outside hard labor. It was great. It was backbreaking, and it really brought us together. I'm going to talk about the first 2 days that we did. We did it all week. The first day, they sat us down on bleachers in the gym, like you saw in the picture, with all the other groups. Tons of kids, probably hundreds of kids. And they're calling each church by name. All right, church so-and-so. And big group of 50 kids pops up. Woo! Church so-and-so. A group of 30 kids pops up. All right, Seminole. Us five. Woo! It was great. But God definitely used us for his purpose. It was awesome. We did a lot of good. The first day, they told us that we were going to do some demo. So we went to these houses that they gave us called, they were pretty much projects. They were a little nicer projects, but they were still pretty run down. Each house, although it looked the same, they had like an overhang in front of the door, and they had two pillars. And the pillars had really, really nasty old wood on them, and inside was a metal frame. And we were supposed to rip off all the old nasty wood, clean out everything in the middle, and then paint the metal. And we partnered with a group from Pensacola. Got to know them a little bit. That was kind of nice. And we ended up doing tons of houses. I don't remember how many, but it was a lot. At least over 40 or so. But we were cleaning out all the trash inside these pillars because people just would stick trash in there, and bugs and wasps and spiders, and oh, it was nasty. But it was a good time. We definitely we had fun. And we got to meet the owners of the houses too. There were a lot of nice people there. They were really welcoming, and they loved that we were there and wanted to get to know us and know what our purpose was, to spread the gospel. So that was great. On our way out of there, we actually had a couple little girls on their bikes trying to follow us in our van. They were behind us, pedaling away, trying to keep us from leaving. But that was great. The next day, we sat in the bleachers again. Seminole, woo! And they said, all right, we are going to do a project all by ourselves. And I think that's when the leadership development really started to kick in. Mr. Scott and Pastor Danny definitely stepped back on that one. They let us kind of lead, and that was very cool, definitely eye-opening. And so we went to a house, I think it was a deacon, is that right?
He was actually a pastor teaching elder.
Oh, okay, he was the teaching elder of the church we attended. And I went to his house and met his wife, and they welcomed us in and everything, super nice, cooked us lunch, and it was really great. They actually dubbed themselves the Black Labrie, they were African American, and LaBrie. I had to look it up. It's like a sanctuary kind of thing. And their purpose, their ministry, was to feed anyone that got to their house. They would welcome them in, feed them, take care of them. As long as you can get here, we'll take care of you. So that was really cool that we were able to help them. We did a lot of yard work, pulled up giant weeds, did a lot of flower beds and digging trenches, as you saw in the slideshow, and filling up gravel and cutting big beams of wood to put over top of it to keep the rain from going down. And it was just a lot of work. We were covered in sweat the whole time. But it was definitely a great time, and we were able to help them a lot, so that was great.
All right. Daniel told you about the first and second day, and I'm going to tell you about the third and fourth day. We actually got to work at a guy who was a missionary, who's going to go be a missionary to Japan. He was teaching English to them, and they were preparing to leave, and so he needed some yard work to be done so that they could rent the house to other people. And in the backyard, they had this big clay pit almost, and when it rained, it created a sinkhole. When you walked in it, your shoes would get all muddy, and you could barely walk at all. And so we took pickaxes, shovels, rakes to this place, and when it wasn't wet, it was extremely hard, and you couldn't like pick it up without like a big metal tool. And so we were slamming away and slamming away and slamming away with the pickaxe, or shoveling really hard. And this was like really, really hard labor, and some of the hardest things I've done. God really helped us as we were doing this. And it really taught me to depend on Him when I'm weak or I'm really tired. And that's something that I learned that week. And so we were moving these rocks to create a ditch, and so that the water would run down and wouldn't create such a sinkhole. So we moved these rocks over with rakes, and we did that. It took a whole day's work, and it was really, really hard. But it was really good that we were able to help people. And then the next day, after we had done like the preparation, we took this black matting and matted over this clay field. And then you guys saw the dump truck come in with 4.5 tons of rock pebbles. And they put it in a giant pile, and there was 3 people on the rocks who were shoveling them into wheelbarrows, which were held by 2 people. And then there was 3 people raking. And it was really cool to see the teamwork that we had. People were shoveling, and then the other people would go wheelbarrowing really fast because it was so heavy, like 50 pounds each. And then once the gravel piled up in the thing, it would be really, really hard to push it through. And it was just really hard work. But it was fun at the same time. We actually put these bricks up at one point, and we would try to push the wheelbarrow along the bricks and see how far we could get along them without going into the rocks. And we were able to finish, actually, put all 4.5 tons into this place, and it was really cool to see how we were able to do something small but help someone so much. The owner of the house, Vincent Howard, said that it would save him like a month of hard work, and so now he could focus on other things, and it was really cool to see how God worked with us to help them.
Okay, breaking off the really arduous labor that we had to do, I was going to bring it back to the describing what kind of what Hope for the Inner City did in Chattanooga. I don't know who's been to Chattanooga here, but if you've ever been there, it's a really nice city. It's meant for tourism in Tennessee. Lots of people come there for the Appalachian Mountains, or tubing, or rafting. It's a really nice city. But the other half you might not see is the two area codes, or zip codes, that Hope for the Inner City works with. They're situated right in the middle. Now, this is what we call the inner city. These two zip codes are plagued with things like gangs. If you looked on the PowerPoint, the first slide had statistics on graduation levels. And those are really, really low. So this part of the city is really, really suffering. And Hope for the Inner City, their goal is to bring people like that back to the church. It is the utmost goal that they make these people realize that they can find hope and, you know, believing in God and going to church and confessing and really just believing and sharing their faith. So, and they do this by inviting the people there. They have wonderful services there. They teach classes to young teens on how to get a job. They even have classes for anyone who's unemployed at the moment, and you know, they help get them their resume together so they can send it off to the company. They have their own dentistry there, and they have a dentist that comes in and like does things, you know, makes looks at their health and stuff. One of the things we played in was their giant gym there. So this was the building they serve in is actually an old Salvation Army building, and they have a giant gymnasium there with basketball courts, and we saw some of the kids from the neighborhood even there playing with us. They serve food, and in the back they started a giant community garden where people from the community have come in and planted some stuff. They converted a giant baseball field into their own. They have a goat and chickens that sometimes get out. So for a team, though, going there, the week we went there was actually the first time they had a lot of teams there. They had, like, several large teams there. Now, we were, you know, a team of seven. We were the smallest. So just we were the hardest working, I would say. And they said they were pretty impressed with us for what we were. But just think seven teams bigger than us. It was a lot of people filling up an entire side of bleachers in the gymnasium. So this is the first time they did this. And I heard 2 weeks after that, they had a group even bigger than that. So so they're really pulling in the people and trying to get us to come out and gather these people. But one interesting thing is that that's only 50% of what we're supposed to realize is, you know, trying to get people to come. The other 50% is realizing our own spiritual growth. So what they did was in the mornings that we'd have morning worship. They would have songs like the ones you heard here. We had to share our if we were picked, we had to share our testimonies. Scared the heck to do it. But I mean, getting up in front of all those people to share your testimony. But for the people who did share it, there was some really powerful stuff they said, and, you know, it just helped us grow. They had our own devotional books that we looked at every morning or night, reading through a story, praying, looking at a Bible verse. And then at the end, we all got together, and then we realized what spiritual gifts we were given and what we could do. And overall, it was just a very important thing, not only that the community could realize that God was there, but it was a really important thing that we realized that God is there. So it was a growth for both of us. So I thank I thank Hope for that they could do that.
Hi. I'm going to be talking about the Bible clubs that we had while we were up there. So We were assigned to some apartments called the Northumberland Apartments, which was a lower income area. And so on Monday, we went out and we went door to door, and we Hope for the Inner City called it canvassing. We went door to door, handing people flyers and telling them we're going to have a Bible club there. And so the Bible club, it was when we got there, we had some games for them. The lesson that I taught was the lesson of the Good Shepherd, and so we had a game where they were all sheep and they lined up on one side of the area that we were at, and I said, "You have to hop over to me. I was the shepherd," and there was one wolf that was a volunteer, that he was a wolf, and I said, "Sheep, come home," and they had to hop over to me because I didn't want to make them crawl on the blacktop. So they hopped over to me, and if the wolf tagged them, then they were out. And so it was to teach them that sheep are vulnerable, just like us, and we need a good shepherd. So, one thing that I learned about God and about the kids at North Chamberlain, we had kids from about 4 or 5 to 18, so it was a wide range, and So seeing the kids hop around and play and just having a great time, having a ball, it was really cool. And one thing I learned was that God, he loves all of his children, no matter what their race is, what their economic situation is. God loves all his children the same. And I thought that was really cool. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Emily. I'm going to share some more about the Bible Club. I want to share some about what each of our team members did at the Bible Club and how I saw God work through each one of them. So to start off, I want to say that Danny did a very good job of letting the youth take over, and he took some good pictures. And he supervised and made sure that everything was running smoothly and would step in when we needed him. And Scott would go around and talk to the adults and the parents of the kids that were there and explain to them what was happening and what the Bible Club was about and sharing the gospel with them. Gina's not here tonight, but she and Daniel both did the music and were very good at exciting the children and getting the word across to them and having the kids have fun with it at the same time. And Gina also did the crafts, and I think she did a very good job of relating the crafts back to God and back to the Bible and the lessons we were trying to teach them. Daniel, very good job with the music. He had his guitar, and he pretty much picked the songs that we would be singing, and I'm sure that was probably difficult to choose. And he also really helped all the different activities move smoothly. And we had Ryan, Hope for the Inner City had asked for one of our team members to be checking the names of the kids that came in and their age. And they were going to send them off to churches nearby so that way the church could then follow up with the kids and see how they were doing and like if they were interested in what we were talking about. Nicholas was a kid magnet, and he attracted pretty much all the kids to the Bible Club. And Luke did a very good job of keeping the children controlled and focused while we were teaching the lessons. So, very good job. I think that God really worked through every single one of them. And I want to share how I think God worked through me. When I left for the trip, I had just gotten over strep throat, and I was losing my voice, And Thursday, I had to teach a lesson for the Bible Club. That was probably not the most exciting thing to hear. I mean, obviously, everything in the Bible is exciting to hear, but the way I was going to teach it was pretty much just me standing up in front of the kids and talking, and I was worried that they were going to be out of control and not focusing and listening, and also I didn't have a voice. So I would say I was worried, and I wasn't trusting God fully, and I think that when I got up there to teach the kids, I really saw that I could trust God and just put it all on him and that he would help me get through it. And when I stood up there, all the kids were focused and they were listening to me, and it was just, I was in answered prayer. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
All right, well, that's just a small glimpse of the things that we experienced. And to recap just a couple things, some of the main reasons that Scott and I zeroed in on Hope for the Inner City was it was a mission project that was through MTW, which that was more of a priority for us, though not an exclusive, that wasn't the only ministry opportunity we were looking at. But the things that they were challenging our students to do were kind of a little step further than things that we had done, at least in the past 6 years since I've been here. And so it had the students not only do like construction type work projects, you know, getting out there, working hard in the midst of the heat and the sweat and the difficult labor. And it's always such a beautiful thing to see them just cheerfully doing that. And so parents, it is possible. This can transfer to home as well. And then also another aspect was them taking charge of basically a little backyard Bible club, kind of like a miniature-sized VBS. And talk about uncomfortable. We have never been to this apartment complex ever in our lives, and we just show up and knock on doors. Hey, we're going to be doing a Bible club in your neighborhood. Come tomorrow night. And that was very uncomfortable for me. And Scott, he just shines in that area. He's so outward focused. And I learned so much from just observing Scott. And every spare moment, Scott is off to the side in some corner talking with someone and building relationships and connections. And just it was wonderful to see that. But the Bible Club proper itself, that was completely 100% led by only our students. And Hope for the Inner City, when we would come home, they would debrief our group, and they'd be like, Danny, Scott, did you do anything? Did you lead? Like, you know, we were going to be in trouble if we said yes. And we're like, no, we just stood off to the side. We didn't do anything. And so the idea was, let the students lead. Leadership development. They are able, and you know what? Even if it totally falls apart, let's see what they do to pick it back up. And luckily, we didn't ever have to observe that because they did a fantastic job. And so the Bible Club was basically, you know, as Luke mentioned, we'd welcome them with some games. Danielle and Gina would lead with some songs, and then we did this thing called Pie. And they, it was like one of the eye-opening things to me is it's the game that we would call Hangman, but they were very, very clear, do not play Hangman. Because on the Chattanooga Bridge, you know, not too many years ago, a lot of people were actually hung off of that bridge, lynched, African-Americans, just murdered. And we were talking to some of their grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And so, don't talk about the game Hangman. We call it pie. And so, you draw a circle and you divide it into little pie shapes. And it's just like Hangman. You know, they guess letters And then when they guess a wrong letter, you color in, you know, a piece of the pie. And so when they fill up the whole pie, you know, they lose. But they, I think they figured it out every time we played. And we'd usually do like portions of Bible verses and things like that. So anyway, we were practicing memory verses with that little game. And then we'd go into our teaching time. And on the third night that we were there with the kids, that was the last time that we were going to do an actual Bible club. And we opened it up for a time of prayer. And, you know, each of our students kind of circled up. And everybody, there was like all these little mini circles around each of our students. And they were talking with the kids and like, hey, you know, is there anything that I can pray for you about? Anything you'd like to pray for? And the circle that I was sitting in happened to be the circle that Daniel Lang was in. And there was a young man named Kevin who was probably about 16 years old. And Daniel was like, you know, what would you like to pray for? And keep in mind, this is just a week and a half after the South Carolina Charleston shooting in the church. And, you know, he just was like, I'd like to pray for those in the Charleston shooting. And Daniel's like, great, well, would you like to pray for that? And so this young boy prayed, and he prayed for the shooter, that the shooter would know God's joy. And just to hear that coming out of his lips was like, wow, I am being taught what mercy and forgiveness and grace is really all about. You know, we went up there to serve, but we're the ones that end up learning so much more. And so the final day on Friday, we invited our neighborhood, that apartment complex down to a local waterfront park for a picnic. And all of the different teams and all the different neighborhoods were doing the same thing. So we ended up at this park called Coolidge Park, with probably, you know, 200 people down there, all just playing in the fountain, having a big picnic lunch. And then we did these things called grow groups, where our students would identify a few of the kids from our group that actually showed some interest in spiritual things, and they took them aside and sat down and just talked more deeply about, you know, what is the gospel? Ask them questions. Who is Jesus? What do you think the gospel is? And had an opportunity to just share basic points of the gospel with them and spend time in prayer with them. And then since we're only there for a week, you know, we hand that off to Hope for the Inner City, and then they're there to follow up with those kids in the future. And so it just was a privilege to be able to be their hands and feet for a week. And we may not always get to see the immediate fruit of the labor that we did up there, but one of the things that they told all of the churches that were there serving is that, you know what, you guys are probably not going to see it, but we're going to see it. And we're going to see it. We may see it in a couple months. We may see it in a year. We may not see it for 4 or 5 years. But we will be the ones who get to see the fruit. And so it just was a fun privilege to be God's servants up there. And so anyway, I could stand up here and just talk and talk and talk about different stories. But what we wanted to do was open up for a time of Q&A. If there's anything that any of our students or team members mentioned that, or anything that you saw on the slideshow that were like, wait, I'd like to know more about that. We would invite you to ask questions of our team members. So who's going first? All right. Okay. Thinking back to how we prepared, how do you see, repeat that again, Bill?
How do you see yourself in ministry to other people compared to before you left to now?
All right. So how do you see yourself basically changed through this ministry experience of your preparation and now that you're back home? Huh? Well, who would like to answer it?
Well, as I had talked about before, like especially in the work projects and going out and teaching among the kids, I really found that like I most of the time I'd been depending on myself to be able to teach stuff, and you couldn't really do this on this trip. You had to keep in prayer a lot and just rely on God, and that's how I like. That's just another side of leadership that I realize and that I need to use.
On previous mission trips that I've gone, Danny would ask us to make our own testimony. And, you know, we would probably go one day and go to a group and, like, say it or say it in front of the group. But when Hope for the Inner City asked for it, it actually became a very important tool for us. Because I think part of when going out and into the community and trying to get people, teach them about the gospel and, you know, figure out what their testimony is or if they believe or not, I think it's very important that you know what your own testimony is. So I think that's what I realized on this trip, that knowing your own testimony and how you, how Jesus impacts you is very important as well.
Any other questions? Diane. Yeah, I can answer that. There are ministries called Hope for, you know, fill in the blank of the name of the city. There used to be like a Hope for Atlanta, and there was Hope for Chattanooga. And so I think that's kind of like a model of ministry that different cities have practiced, and how the ministry we aligned with became Hope for the Inner City was Hope for Chattanooga was a ministry that was started out of New City Fellowship, which is a PCA church in Chattanooga. But there was another ministry called like Inner City Ministries, and they discovered over time that they were doing exactly the same thing, and they had the same mission and the same purpose, so they united into one ministry that is still under the authority of New City Fellowship called Hope for the Inner City. So they just combined the names. Tammy, I saw your hand up. The question was, what were the arrangements for our room and board? There may be some colorful answers here.
So where we slept, we had these bunk beds that they had made with mattresses. So we weren't on the floor of a church like some church groups were, so that was good. The showering situation... They had three walls with four different shower heads all pointing in the same direction. So we kind of had to just share the shower area with bathing suits.
Do you think high school locker room showers?
That's what we're talking. Some churches didn't decide to use bathing suits. I'll just say that much. Yeah. But the director of the Hope for the Inner City, his wife was actually nice enough to make all of the food for all of us. All of the church groups, like some 160 people. And we had breakfast and dinner there, and we made like ham sandwiches and an apple to bring in a sack lunch to the work site every day, which, as we discovered on the first day, tasted really good at the work site because we were so hungry, just working so hard to take a break and eat a turkey and cheese and bread sandwich. Yes. That was good.
Anyone else want to?
The girls' bunkhouse is actually not too bad, except for I got locked in the bathroom a few times because the door would, it would be unlocked, but anytime you would try to push on the door handle would get stuck, and so you'd have to have multiple people on the outside pry the door open. Also, the showers for the girls, one of them worked pretty well, so there'd always be a line, and then the other one was clogged up, and so you'd be standing in inches of water the entire time.
All right, the guys' bunkhouse, definitely not what I expected. The whole building was basically falling apart. We had holes in the walls. We had bug issues. We had doors missing handles. And to top it all off, our AC broke. So, yeah, in the middle of summer in Chattanooga, it was definitely hot, and we had to share it with a bunch of other churches. So we had the guys all together, and we found a giant fan in the gym. It was a big industrial-sized fan, about the size of this opening here, and it was great. We were all so excited and everything. After the first night, it was horrible, and then when we got into the room the next night, the other guys that all voted that we would turn the fan facing out for some reason to blow the hot air out, even though we didn't have any cool air coming in. So basically, it was just the exact same as it always was. And we tried talking to them, the giant fan right there, but it didn't work out. But that's not the reason why we were there, though, so it was okay.
Yeah. I would say that was pretty much every night on top of my sleeping bag, just sweating. And just like, when am I going to fall asleep? I'm so, just like sweating through my shirt. It's like, oh, now it's like 12:30. We have to wake up in 6 hours. Now it's 1. I have to wake up. When am I going to fall asleep? I'm so miserable and sweaty and hot. Did you want to add some?
And then the girls' cabin, they were over there complaining that it was too cold. and we're saying what we would give to have the too cold scenario. So, yeah, that's what I want to say.
So it was interesting, accommodations. But they were very hospitable, and it all worked out, and it was we were better for it. So, Bill.
Yeah, just a question of the Bible clubs. You guys did, were other churches doing the same thing, same Bible clubs as well? Not knowing
where people are. Yeah, Bill's question was, for the Bible clubs, were all of the other churches that were there at Hope for the Inner City that week, were they all doing the same thing?
Short answer, yes. All the church groups all went to different neighborhoods, except one that had like 50 people split in half and did two, I think. And we did the North Chamberlain Apartments. Other churches, they did the same lessons from the Jesus Storybook Bible, which relates different stories to how it points to Jesus in the Bible. So we did The Good Shepherd. I did that. Nick did Nehemiah and... or
she did Nehemiah, and I did Naaman.
Naaman.
She did Isaiah.
Emily did Isaiah, which was No More Tears, and Nick did Naaman.
On average,
the question was, how long did the Bible clubs last, and did we see the same kids day after day?
Okay, so On average, we had 16 kids each day, I think, and I think Luke touched on the fact that we had, like, ages 3 to 18, and we had, I think all 3 days we had a lot of the same kids, but some left, some came, and then the time, it normally went from, like, an hour to an hour and a half, and then we would start packing up and leave, and then have the children chase our van.
Since I was secretary and I recorded the names, I would say the first day we had about 16, second day we had 19, and then I think it went back down to 17. Picnic we had extra, actually, right? More than 18. But there was a lot more extra faces that we didn't see the entire week there. So obviously they talked to their friends, said, ooh, we're going to a park. So, and then probably each day would probably range between 4 and 6 extra faces, so that would mean 4 and 6 would leave. So that was about the normal change each day. Pastor Keen?
Yeah, just this is for anybody, and if you were to relate this experience to the gospel, is there a particular theme or Bible verse that comes to mind? For example, if you went overseas to Costa Rica, you'd say, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is there anything that comes to mind when you think about going to the inner city of Chattanooga as a place of the gospel?
I don't know what verse is on the back of our shirt, but a big theme was, who is my neighbor? Or am I a good neighbor? And so we studied about, in our devotions, we studied about Nabal. Is that how you say it? But
Naboth?
Anyway, Abigail's husband. When David went to him asking for hospitality, and basically he didn't show him any hospitality. We may have studied some other things. That's the one that sticks out to me. But I would say it was that theme. I don't know, Danny, what do you all think?
The verse that sticks out to me, not that we are perfect at doing this, but is Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We definitely gave it our all, and the whole community was definitely blessed by us through God's work. Next question.
The question was, when we went door to door, had people heard of that ministry? I don't know so much when we went door to door, but as you talk to people a little bit more, some of them did know about it. I know a lady said, oh, where you're from there? You know, how can I get, she was just visiting that apartment complex. She's like, how can we get Hope to come to our, you know, you're from Hope? I said, well, you know, call them if you're familiar with them. She was. So their reputation, if you want to call it that, is out there. Not that everybody knows, but people do know.
We were actually the first church group to go to North Chamberlain Apartments. A lot of them get, with all the church groups that come every summer, they get hit a few times each summer. So this is the first time that it has been brought to North Chamberlain. And I think I'm pretty sure it's because someone in the neighborhood requested that they would come and do it there. There's one lady that was, when we were canvassing, that was like, yes, we'll come, and she had like 4 kids, and she was pretty excited that we're there. So at least one family knew about Hope for the Inner City.
The question was, did the parents watch the Bible Club too, or was it just the kids? And surprisingly, only a couple parents were there, like once or twice a day. Thankfully, we had Mr. Scott there to talk with them and to tell them why we were there and why we were kidnapping their children. So, so that was good. Any other questions? Yes. The question was, will we go back to Chattanooga? And I would say yes, for sure, for the sites and for the people. We definitely made a lot of good connections that we wish we could definitely keep, and I hope to, definitely. Yes.
I would love to go back to Chattanooga. The only difficulty is, since we're a small church and we try to do different things for our high school students each year, we're on kind of like a rotation cycle. And so we, next year, we're planning to do ministry but focus locally here on in our own area in Tampa. The year after that, we're going to take a group down to Costa Rica because we have a partnership with a mission team down there. The year after that, we would probably do a high school camp. And then the year after that, so 4 years, is when we might go back to Chattanooga. So I'd love to go back, but just the way our program works, I mean, I would love to do multiple trips in a summer. That would be great too, but it's pretty taxing financially on families and our church. So it might be 4 years. Shannon. Random memorable moments. I'm sure there are many. Now, remember, we do not slander our leaders.
Okay, well, in Chattanooga, there's a lot of coffee shops. And you guys know Danny loves coffee. And I don't really like coffee that much. And so one time we went to this coffee shop and everyone's getting like these cold brews and all this special stuff. And I was kind of sick of it. So there are these loaves of bread and they're like this big. And so I just order a piece of like a large loaf of sourdough just for myself. And while they were drinking their coffee, I was eating a loaf of bread.
Okay, so we are, I think a few of us are now avid Hearts players now, which is a card game that Danny knows well. Nicholas knew it well. We got Luke into it. I kind of forgot it after last year, but I got back into it real quick. So, yeah, we're really competitive in it now. We play it now, too, and if we get a chance, we'll just pull out a deck of cards now. But, yeah, we had some good games. We had one game. We stayed up till about 12:15 in the morning doing, just because no one would take the hit to finish it. So we like literally went to the end and no one lost until 12:15 in the morning. So the next morning was really, yeah, but we deserved it.
All right, well, we are past 7 p.m. We need to wrap it up here, but we want to invite all of you. We have a bunch of ice cream and toppings. We have some water and some sweet tea and some soda over in the Snyder Building, so please don't leave right now. Just come over to the Snyder Building with us, and you can chat informally with any of our team members. But let me go ahead and close us with a word of prayer. Father God, we do give you thanks for your mercy and your loving kindness towards us, that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you for the grace that you've given us. Thank you for giving us a mission and a calling. Thank you for forming this team and for the privilege of being your servants in Chattanooga. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each of these team members, that you would bless them, that you would continue to stretch them and sanctify them, and that you would develop them into leaders who would magnify your name above all things. Thank you, Lord, for our church who sent us. I thank you for those that are gathered here tonight. And thank you, Lord, that we can praise you for your good work. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.